Hello, everyone. This is Raven J from the podcast RetroRetroRetro.com. And I'm here to do a Hard Rock Zombies retrospective exclusively for the Man Cave. So in the Man Cave this week, it's Hard Rock Zombies week. And I was contacted to do a review of it. So here we go. First off, I'm going to give a synopsis of the movie. And then I'm going to talk about the video releases. And I'm going to talk about what the actors have gone on to do, or even the musicians. So, here we go. If anyone has ever seen this, it starts off with a tunnel, and then the Hard Rock Zombies logo comes up, and you see two guys driving in a car, and one of them is the actor who plays Tommy in this, Gino Andrews, is his brother, the guy with the short black hair driving. And in the passenger side is E.J. Kurse, who plays Jesse. That's his guitar player from their band, Silent Rage. And I'll get to that in a minute. But they're driving, and they come across a hitchhiker, who is played by Lisa Toothman. And you never really find out her name, but it's listed as Elsa. So she meets up with them, and she takes them to a secluded pond or whatnot. And so they all go skinny dipping. And, oh, off the bat, I'm not going to give away a lot of spoilers, but if any of you have seen this, you pretty much know this movie doesn't really make a lot of sense, so it's kind of hard not to give spoilers, but I'll try my best. So anyway, she takes them to a pond, and they all go skinny dipping, but off to the side, there's some strange characters. There's Christian, played by, oh man, what's his name? Christopher Perkins, and then there's two little people. One, who's kind of got a deformed-looking mask, Buckley, played by Gary Friedkin. But then you might notice the other little person, who's a famous little person actor, Phil Fondacaro, and he plays Mickey, with the guy with the eye patch. But he went by H.G. Goles in this. And I'm not sure why, but I'll get to that in a second. So, Elsa commences to... Oh, and Christian's taking pictures of this whole thing. And you find out through the rest of the movie that he likes to take voyeuristic pictures of murder, madness, and mayhem. So, Elsa does away with these two people, these two guys, and you find out that she likes to collect souvenirs. Where'd you get this clip? I wanna hold your hand. And so then after that, you get to see your first glimpse of Holy Moses, the rock and roll band in this movie. And the members of this band are Jesse, the guitar player, singer, Tommy, the lead guitar, played by Gino Andrews, oh, yeah, the lead singer is E.J. Kurse, or he went by E.J. Curcio back then. And then there's the keyboardist, who is Mick Manns, but I came to find out that his name's actually Mick McMains, which kind of led to me not getting him for my Hard Rock Zombies retrospective of a couple years ago, which I'll mention at the end of the show, or at the end of this. And then the drummer, played by Sam Mann, I'm sorry. He plays the drummer Chuck, who is kind of the wildest person in the band, but you'll find out. He's got some of the most memorable lines. So they're rocking out to Shake It Out. And it's not clarified which city they're in or which town. But they're playing in front of a bunch of groupies or whatnot. And it just so happens that a few of the townspeople from Grand Guignol, which is the next stop on their U.S. tour, are in attendance. And they have a little diatribe.
Do we really want the children of Grand Guignol listening to this kind of garbage?
Nope.
So right off the bat, you know that there's opposition to what Holy Moses is doing. And also, Holy Moses has a manager named Ron, played by Ted Wells. So after the show, Holy Moses is, winding down, dressing, whatnot. And Ron comes in and he's telling them, hey, man, we need to get pictures. And you get this.
Jesse, I need photos. You know, girls screaming, climbing all over you. Don Mattson is Columbia Records, man. He wants to see those kids insane.
Listen, man, we are musicians, you know, not day camp counselors.
Now look it. I busted my ass a year for this. In 3 months, you'll be national. No more shit towns and shit bands. Come on, man. I need those photos, and I need them tonight, so you get your butts out there.
Get it.
Suit yourself.
So Ron commences to bring in all the hoochies, and they start attacking the band, basically. And you get a few good one-liners from Chuck. And then Jesse, he's not really into this. You know, I guess he's all about the art. So he leaves the room, and he's got, like, lipstick all over his face and his clothes tattered from the groping women. And there's a little girl. She's not really a little girl. See, there's the stigma to this, which I've read reviews of this, and people can't get past this for some reason. But Cassie's not really that young. I mean, she looks young, and the actress was probably pretty young at the time, but it's not really meant to be portrayed that way. But I don't take it as what you want. But her name is Cassie, played by Jennifer Coe, and she gives Jesse a warning.
Tomorrow night you're supposed to play at Grand Guignol.
You be there, little girl?
Don't come.
Why not?
They don't want you.
Who don't?
Just don't come. My father.
So he pretty much ignores it. He doesn't really get what she's saying, but deep down he keeps thinking about her, and you find out why. So Holy Moses is on their way to Grand Guignol, totally ignoring Cassie's warning, and Jesse is playing a little ditty out of some book he found. It's probably the Necronomicon, but they never say what it is. So here you go.
Sounds pretty weird. What is it?
Got it from a book.
A who?
A book, you know? Book.
Shit.
Said in the Middle Ages, they used this music to raise the dead.
Raise the dead? What for?
Probably to mop your floors or paint your house. Fuck your wife.
And there's a tidbit about the filming of this. E.J. Kearse and Sam Mann actually became friends, and they're still friends today because of this movie. And the interview I did with E.J., he was talking about how Sam liked to kind of improv his lines, and they kind of kept them in there. And which also kind of leads to why this movie is such a mess. It was never intended to be an actual movie. It was supposed to be just maybe a 20-minute, you know, just clips basically for another movie called American Drive-In. That was made the same year by the same director, Krishna Shah. And if you ever see American Drive-In, they play Hard Rock Zombies all the way through it. And it's really funny. I suggest checking that movie out. So anyway, Holy Moses is on their way to Grand Guignol, and then they pick up a hitchhiker who happens to be Elsa, the lady from the beginning of the movie.
Oh, geez, Louise, pull over. Ow! Mama! Lord have mercy!
Which has to be one of my favorite lines in the movie. And I used to always say that to an ex-girlfriend, and she laughed every time, so it's pretty cool. So they pick her up, and she recommends they stay at her place, which is like a old mansion. And right off the bat, you hear a werewolf howl, and you see a glimpse of a werewolf or something sitting in a chair howling in perfect daylight. So there's another strike against the movie right off the bat, but you find out why later. I mean, actually, you don't find out, but you find out why. No. Never mind. See, that's a big thing about this movie is, as much as I would like to say it makes sense, it doesn't. But there's more charm to it than just, you know, having to make sense. And I'll talk about that as we go along. All right, so Holy Moses is staying at Elsa's family's house, and you get to meet some of the characters. You see Olaf, who is, how to explain him? He's kind of a bulking, bald guy, and you see him kill a chicken. You see Mickey again, and he plays a prank on Holy Moses by giving him a hand. You see, that's pretty much it for the time being. Aside from the werewolf lady. So, and then, after they settle down, Holy Moses invades Grand Gugnall. Which is just like a really funny scene, because right up there, they invade the town by coming across the bridge, and just when I interviewed Gino Andrews, because I asked him about his skateboarding abilities, and he said that they filmed like 40 to an hour something minutes of him skateboarding, and they only clipped that much in. But you know, it's just Holy Moses having a good time, you know, meeting the town folk and to a music montage. And then after that, you meet the sheriff, and he locks them up. So, or actually right before that, Jesse meets up with Cassie again, and you get this, you actually meet Cassie's father, played by David This is a hard name to say because it's spelled S-C-J-R-O-E-D-E-R. I'm just going to say Schroeder, even though there's a J in it. But anyway, you get this.
How you doing?
Get the fuck out of town, you little pecker.
Well, we can't do that, sir. We got a real big concert tomorrow.
You got shit tomorrow, sonny.
Girl father's a real mother.
And that was another thing that brought me back to this movie, aside from the music, which I'll explain later. That line, your father's a real mother. And I say that all the time. So the band creates such a ruckus that the town folk, or the prudes in town, decide that they can't have this. So they lock Holy Moses up along with Ron. So they're all in this jail cell, which is kind of, it's like old timey. It's got hay and it's got, you know, like traditional bars without a window. I mean, it's like an open window with bars. So then some money pops through, which is bail money. And you come to find out it was Cassie, which leads to this little tidbit, which is probably the cheesiest line of the movie, but it also gives the movie its charm, its cult charm.
Hey, girl. Thanks.
I tried to warn you.
Come here. I'm so in love, but you're so young. When you touch my hand, does that mean we're in love? That's better. You're neat.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-mm.
And, EJ really didn't want to say that line, but he had to because it was the part, you know, his line in the movie. So Holy Moses gets bailed out by Elsa because obviously that money Cassie gave was only a fraction of what. So Elsa comes and bails them out. And then you get a line by Sandman, which I forgot to clip, which is ridiculous because it's one of the funniest lines in the whole movie. And that was also an improvised line. So Holy Moses gets bailed out. Cassie warns them again, or at least Jesse, saying that this lady's no good, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Jesse's like, whatever. But he gives Cassie a ring, and he actually finds out her name because he keeps thinking about her, and he's writing the song. And so they go back to the farmhouse, mansion, whatever it is, and they start performing in front of an old man, an old woman, and the rest of the family. And this is, we don't reveal who the old man is just yet, and I don't know, I'll have to give a spoiler for this because it's one of the biggest parts of the movie, but actually I don't have to, so, and if I gave away the lady's name too, it might give it away as well, so, let's just say there's an old couple, and actually there was a part in this where they were making love, and like their two little grandchildren came in to, who were the little people from the beginning of the movie. And they're like, can we watch? And he's like, no. And then the lady's like, what's wrong with they if they watch? So they let them watch, and it's creepy. So Holy Moses is in front of the whole family, and they're going to perform their new song. And here you go. But during the middle of their performance, they get electrocuted. But they don't die. It's a very brief electrocution. But it was intended to kill them. And you find out that this... I mean, if you didn't already know from Elsa cutting people's hands off, you knew that this family was bad news. So, from then on, this is where the movie, when I first seen it, just... I lost interest in it. And to tell the truth, I hated this movie when I first seen it. And I'll get to that also later about my first experiences with it, which might be similar to other people's. So, in town, Ron goes back to town to try to convince the people to let them put on the show. And they have a meeting with all the town folk, which is like, you know, 17 people. And they overrule Ron, and they don't let him talk, and they decide that there's going to be no rock and roll music whatsoever. So they ban it. And then to take it further, they decide to destroy all the records, tapes, whatever, what kind of music they have at the time. So Holy Moses has like 15 strikes against them already in this town. And while the townsfolk are destroying the records and all that, back at the mansion, Holy Moses starts to get picked off one by one. But before all that happens, Jesse is working on the song that he got in that book. And there's a spider that keeps coming up, a big tarantula, and he keeps killing it. But every time he plays the song, it brings it back to life. So it's never really mentioned and it never really shows it, but he makes a demo tape of the song. So while the townsfolk are destroying all the music and everything, Cassie takes off. Ron finds out that Holy Moses is starting to get killed. So he comes back to town to get help. And he tries to help out Cassie, but Cassie goes to warn Holy Moses that the townsfolk are... Okay, I'm getting confused now. All right, so anyway, what happens is Holy Moses start getting killed, but right before Jesse dies, he gives Cassie a cassette tape, and he tells her to play it if they don't make it. So they don't make it. And here's a part of the movie that when I was interviewing Ted Wells, the guy who played Ron, he said that they actually filmed the scene. They actually filmed the funeral scene. And it was pretty elaborate, and he actually had quite a few lines of dialogue. But they cut it, and they just showed like a little clip. And so after Cassie's at their grave site, before this, Ron is at the dinner table with the family and the sheriff. And this is when you get a big reveal of who the old man actually is. And it's crazy. I'll just let everyone see it because it's just really strange. But there's a scene where Phil Fondacaro's character, Mickey, is videotaping this, but he's looking through the lens with his patched eye. A little inconsistency. And also, to add to that, there's at least three instances that I can recall of a boom mic being in the scene. The part where they're in the jail, there's a boom mic, like, right at the top of the screen. You can see it if you're watching on, like, a newer television that, you know, like a 16 by 9. There's a boom mic after EJ says, "Your father's a real mother." And then there's a boom mic when, right after the band gets electrocuted and Elsa and Christian are consoling the band, telling them, "Oh, it was a big mistake. We're sorry." If you look at the top of the screen, boom mic, big time. All right, so Holy Moses is dead. It gets revealed who the old man is. So Ron, the guy tries to enlist Ron in his plan, the old man's plan, but Ron doesn't want any part of it. So they're going to kill Ron. But in the meantime, Cassie's at the gravesite of Holy Moses, and she plays the tape. And lo and behold, Holy Moses become hard rock zombies, which you get this little song play in the background. And by the way, all this music is done by Paul Sabu, which I will also get to in a minute. So Holy Moses head back to the mansion to get revenge. And they look different now. They kind of look like a cross between Kiss. I guess that's what you just say, is they look like Kiss. And then Chuck's character, he looks like Sergeant Pepper, right out of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, but with a top hat, or a construction hat. Alright, so they go and get revenge against the family that killed them. And then after that, they head back to Grand Guignol to play in front of Don Madsen, which I didn't get a clip of. So Don Madsen shows up and starts listening to them play, and they play a couple songs. They actually play Cassie all the way through, and then Street Angel, which I'll get to in a second. But while all that's going on, you go back to the farmhouse, and you see that the family starts coming back to life. And the sheriff and a couple of town folk went to go check it out, because, oh, that's the part where Ron came back to, was like, "You gotta help." So the town folk went, and the town folk start getting killed off, which spawns just more zombies and more zombies. So basically the town becomes under siege while Holy Moses is performing in front of Don Madsen. And there's a part where Elsa, she's a zombie. There's a couple things about the VHS tape and the DVD transfer. There's a couple lines in the VHS there's a couple lines in the DVD that were not included in the VHS. And one of them is a scene where this lady and her boyfriend are having a picnic. And the lady sees someone in the bushes, so he goes to investigate. And then all of a sudden his head rolls out and she picks it up and she gives you find out that it was Mickey that tore the guy's head off. The guy's name is Arnold, by the way. And she gives this little line. "You little son of a bitch, what did you do to Arnold?" But it's not in the VHS version. And then also there's a part where the sheriff and I can't remember who it was. It was Red, Ted, Fred, or Ed, one of the townsfolk. But they have Elsa and another one of the dead family members in the backseat of the car. And they're bringing back for evidence. And the sheriff goes, "Did you fart?" Which was also not in the VHS. So, a couple of things. I mean, there's probably a lot more that I haven't noticed, but just those two are right off the bat. So, like I said, all the zombies are starting to invade the town, and the remaining town folk are kind of sheltered, barricaded themselves into this little area. And they start devising a plan, because there's a guy called, there's a town person named Ancient Man, who dies, and he gives them a little description of what's going to be happening. And but then now there's Old Man, but they're also played by the same guy, and the guy's name was John Drake. But Ted Wells mentioned that the guy was a union actor, so he actually went by an alias. But he played both roles, and the old guy, and then what he actually got revealed to be was played by two different actors as well. But one of the actors was named Jack Blazinger or something like that. Okay. So the town folk devise this plan because there's this intellectual type guy who finds a book and blah, blah, blah. So here you go.
This is how Papa teaches me taking care of walking deadnesses.
How does it work?
He's driving stake through a heart.
That's for vampires.
Vampires?
You know, there must be some way to stop these zombies.
Some rot as they die, others are preserved. It depends on the music.
Oh, who cares about that?
Let me see. They feed on living flesh.
We noticed that.
Yeah, they rip off your skin while the blood is still flowing in your veins.
Oh, we noticed that, too.
My God, here it is. Certain ghouls don't eat heads.
So?
Well, ghouls hate heads the way Satan hates the church. You see, ghouls are the antithesis of intellectual existence, which centers within the heads. In the ghoul, the brain dissolves to become their venom. So, what can we do?
Yeah, what can we do?
We use our heads.
Which is kind of an interesting concept, that a zombie's brain dissolves, which becomes the venom. Which, you know, could be pretty cool. I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought, because I'm doing like 15 things at once here, but I thought that was a cool concept, that their venom comes from their deteriorating brain. Okay, so the townsfolk devised this plan by using their heads, which leads to them finding these giant heads of celebrities like John Wayne and Clark Gable and John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix, and Marilyn Monroe, I believe. And the plan actually works for a second until something goes awry, and then just more of the town folks die. And but then they find another remedy. They need to sacrifice a virgin. And apparently the only virgin available in town left is Cassie. So Ron and Cassie, the only two main people, Ron can't prevent, I'm losing my train of thought. Ron actually meets up with Don Mattson during the Holy Moses performance. Actually, it's after Holy Moses leaves Don Mattson in the cold, and Don Mattson's like, "You'll never work in this town again." Actually, I don't say that. He says something different, but then he gets killed by the other zombies. So Holy Moses go back to the grave and just, I guess they're done. And in the meantime, this is when the town folk decide to sacrifice Cassie, and Ron is just running away trying to find help. And that's when he comes across Don Mattson, who actually became a zombie. So he starts talking to him about, you know, I idolized you, Don, blah, blah, blah. And this whole scene, when I interviewed Ted Wells, he said that he actually shot it because it was actually a more intricate scene, but the director didn't want to film it all because they were running out of time or whatever it was. But Ted, he threatened to quit if they didn't shoot it because this was like his big, like the most dialogue he would have had in the movie, and he felt it was shot. If it was shot correctly, it would have been, you know, salvageable, I guess. So he put his foot down and he actually got to shoot it, and he framed it and everything. So, and I've always noticed that scene is actually, it was actually really good. So if you can say anything good about Hard Rock Zombies, is that scene right there, but maybe not. But anyway, so, Don Mattson's a zombie, tries to attack Ron. So Ron runs away again, and he comes to Holy Moses' gravesite, And then you get this.
You guys, I need you. I need you. Jesse, listen to me. Listen to me, you dead son of a bitch! They got Cassie. You guys, you've got to help me. Chuck, you owe me. How many times was I last resort and I was there? You guys, make Jesse listen to me. I can't just pull it all together this time. I can't do it alone. Why, you guys just fart around and lay down and die. Jesse, I've got the ring you gave to Cassie. They've got her, Jess. They're going to tie her up and let all the ghouls screw her to death. Is that what you want? Ghouls you created screwing her to death? Yes. Come on. Yes. Come on. Good. One more show. Come on.
So, Holy Moses is back on the fight. And I'm not going to give away the rest of the movie, because the rest is pretty much a spoiler. But you get this little... So, I'm just going to end it there. Hard Rock Zombies is just a strange movie. I can't defend it, you know, like, everyone I talk to about it, they usually hate it, and they don't want to watch it, and I don't know what my obsession was with it. I mean, I still kind of am obsessed with it, but it's just, there's something so strange about it. And like I said, it was never intended to be an actual movie. But let me just run down my first experience. So back in the 90s, I frequented my local video stores all the time. And I remember seeing it all, like, almost every video store. And it was always enticing because just the name alone, Hard Rock Zombies. And plus, I loved zombie movies back then. And just any zombie movie was enticing, but I just never got around to renting it. And I think the back cover, see, this movie and The Video Dead always kind of were similar to me. Like, I always wanted to rent them because they just looked strange and cool, but never did. So it wasn't until probably 2005 or 2006 that my friend had this satellite station called B-Mania, which I wish was still around, because B-Mania fucking rocked. But they were showing Hard Rock Zombies one day, so we were like, oh, fuck yeah, let's watch this. So we started watching it, and we got about halfway through, and we were like, fuck this. Because it was just going nowhere. And I think one of my main reasons was because of Bucky, the dwarf character. There's a part where he eats himself. And I think that's where I lost all interest. I'm like, this is just retarded. So, I eventually, back in 2007, I was going on YouTube and I was looking up, like, B-movies and horror movie trailers and such. And I came across the scene where Holy Moses invades Grand Gugnall with the whatever song, the na-na-na song. And it was just so funny to me. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this movie another shot. So I tried to download it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It was so strange I couldn't download it at that time. So I ordered it off either Amazon or eBay. So I got the American release of the DVD, which was done by Blue Laser, who also did American Drive-In. So you can get both of those DVDs. And I do recommend I don't recommend getting the Hard Rock Zombies American NTSC DVD by Blue Laser, but I do recommend getting American Drive-In. But I also want to mention the other DVD I have. I have the PAL version put out by Pegasus Entertainment. and you have to be able to play PAL on your, you know, DVD player, or you can usually computers are, you know, both compatible. So, but I also like that the PAL transfer better, because in the American release DVD, there toward the end part where, I can't give it away, but there's a part at the end where, there's a tape. You can see the tape mark go up, and I'm just like, wow, you didn't even take time to try to correct that. And then also when, at the beginning of the movie, when Holy Moses is performing before they go to Grand Gunal, when they're playing Shake It Out, the sound is not in sync. Like, it gets out of sync a few times, and that just bugs me. Oh, and plus, the part where they're invading the town toward the end when Holy Moses in, the big poster of them where they're poking their heads through, there's this part where the sound skips, and, it's little stupid nitpicky things, but the European version is way better transfer. So, those are the two DVDs I know of. There's another one that comes in a three pack with like Night of the Living Dead and another zombie related movie. But I've heard it's like a really horrible transfer. So I mean, if you have to pinch pennies, I'm sure it's only like $5. So, all right. Oh, plus it's on Netflix. So what isn't, you know? All right. So going back to my experience, 2007, watching that video on YouTube. So I got the movie again, and kind of the same thing happened. Like halfway through it, watching the DVD, I'm just like, eh, I don't know. But then it just started growing on me. Like I would just be sitting around and I would be thinking of that song. Oh, and that was another thing that brought me back to it was, when I originally saw it on Beatmania, when they started performing Cassie for the first time, that stuck in my head for some reason. And like deep in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder if this is available. Like if I could find the soundtrack. And also like a lot of other people, I thought that maybe the band in the movie was an actual band, which, I listened to a podcast called Without Your Head. And they did an interview with EJ Kearse a few years ago. And they actually talked to him in that same manner, like that he actually was performing the music and that was his real band and all that. And I knew, I'll get to this in a minute, but so the music brought me back and also the cheesiness. So I say it was 2008. I started just watching like almost every day. It, like I kind of became obsessed with it. And I interviewed Paul Sabu, back in 2009. And he mentioned that he has fans that contact him all the time about this. And he said, like, it's like one of the most absolute things in the universe that he's always going to be remembered for Hard Rock Zombies. And same with EJ Kearse. Like, I'm sure he gets interviewed constantly or, you know, just emails or whatever. And some of the other guys, maybe not so much, but that was the thing. I felt that they all had a voice, like they all experienced similar things on the shoot of this movie, on the set. So I'm like, I got to find all these people. And I found a majority of them. There's still some that I lost interest basically in this because I felt like, you know, I need to do other things with my life than find everybody that was in Hard Rock Zombies. But I know there's fans out there, and I guess that's why I wanted to do it, because there's a story to tell behind this movie. It may not be a good one, but I felt that there was. So I'll get to that also in a second. So I became obsessed with this movie, and I started getting obsessed with the music, first and foremost. And when you go on the internet back in 2007, 2008, looking up information on this, you didn't really find anything. Like, even the IMDb is inaccurate, which someone should actually remedy that. But, like, you couldn't find anything about, you know, you could find, like, stuff about EJ Kearse, and you could find out that his band Silent Rage, and you could find Gino Andrews, and you could find, but right off the bat, you didn't know. Like, and then you found, I remember just watching the credits, and kind of using my brain, I'm like, Paul Sabu, Maybe I can look that guy up. So I looked him up and found him on MySpace. So about a year later after I did that, I decided to do my podcast, Retro, Retro, Retro. And he was the first guy I interviewed because I wanted to do Hard Rock Zombies on the show. And that was the whole point of my show, is I wanted to do like B-movies or movies that just kind of fell off the radar, or just, you know, like retro movies that people love, you know. So he was the first guy I interviewed, and I didn't know how to do it just correctly yet. So I talked to him for like 2 hours about his whole career, and it was a fucking awesome interview. And we became friends through that interview. But it didn't record correctly, so I kind of just got disgruntled and decided to move on to a different project, which was a Great Aunt Clark interview. But you can listen to that at RetroRetroRetro.com. Anyway, so Paul Sabu and I became friends, and I was thinking, I need to have a theme song for my show. So I asked him, I'm like, do you want to do my my theme music? And he's like, fuck yeah. So we co-wrote it, and if you listen to the beginning of my show, that's Paul Sabu. And this next month, when I post the new show, I'm going to actually put up the full MP3 of the full song, because I only play a clip at the beginning. But there's a full fucking song, and it's awesome. So, but anyway, going back to Paul Sabu, I downloaded his music back in 2008, like off of iTunes, and I fell in love with it. I mean, I wasn't a big fan at first, because it was all kind of cheesy stuff, but I fell in love with it. Originally, when I listened to it, I imagined Holy Moses singing it, and like it was like Holy Moses music. So, but then back in 2009, I started doing the interviews with all the cast, and what I want to say. So I interviewed EJ Kurse, who played Jesse, and EJ went on to, you know, become an actor after that. But his main thing was he met Paul Sabu on this. And Paul Sabu, you know, he was doing the whole music thing, and he produced a lot of stuff. If you want to know any of that stuff, go check out paulsabu.com. You can get his music off of Amazon or CD Baby or iTunes, or even him directly. Just email him or look him up. He's pretty accessible. He's a cool guy. All right. So anyway, he and EJ met on the set. And EJ, you know, he had his band name Rage, but then they had to change it to Silent Rage for some reason. And other members are Jesse Damon, and I can't remember the other two at the time, but they decided that, or they got into the music business because of Paul Sabu, and he helped promote them, and ended up on Gene Simmons' label at the time, which led to them becoming, you know, like one of the glam bands at the time. You know, like, they weren't as known as, say, Poison or Rat, but they were up there. I mean, they toured the world, so EJ definitely got a career out of this movie. So, I mean, I'm not saying he owes a lot to it, but I'm sure he's very grateful. And just the fact that he acknowledges the movie shows that he, you know, I guess he finds humor in it, whatever. So we'll move on to Sam Mann, who also met EJ on this, and they became friends, and they're still friends to this day. Maybe. I mean, as far back 2009, that was the last thing I heard. But everyone who I interviewed said that Sam was just the craziest guy, and there were so many stories. If you listen to my Hard Rock Zombies retrospective, which was on the October 2009 Retro 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 show, everyone just had crazy stories about him. And after hearing all these stories, when I went to interview him, I was expecting like the craziest guy in the world, but he was like the most subdued. Like, he didn't really remember too much about it, and rightfully so. I mean, he was a wild man, apparently. But something I learned, that he did a lot of music for Donald Jackson, or Donald G. Jackson, famous B-movie director. Not so much famous, but Don Jackson did a lot of crazy B-movies, and for some reason he was obsessed with rollerblades, or rollerblade movies, so he has a whole stream of those. But, oh, his most famous was Hell Comes to Frogtown, starring Roddy Piper. So, but Sam Mann got involved with him, and he did a lot of his music. So Sam was out there as a musician as well. And that goes along with, like, EJ. I guess I should... I'll just mention the rest of the people first, and then I'll go back to how everyone got involved. But then again, maybe I shouldn't, because you guys can just go listen to my retrospective and find out from their mouth instead of me telling you. So I'll just say that I interviewed Ted Wells, who played Ron, Gino Andrews, who played Tommy, and I interviewed Paul Sabu. And I was going to interview Phil Fondacaro, but it was a kind of a strange incident. Like, I talked to his wife a couple times, and I emailed Phil a few times. But every time I sat down to call him, something messed up. And it happened at least three times. And after the third time, I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to... So I felt bad. It felt like I was pranking him, because there was a couple times when I called, they couldn't hear me, but I could hear them. So I was like, I felt bad. So I just figured, you know, Phil had a huge career after this movie. I mean, it wasn't Hard Rock Zombies that launched him. But, I mean, he's been in Willow. He was in Bordello of Blood. He was in Ghoulies 2. And those are just B, you know, horror movies. But he's been in a lot of stuff. So I figured, you know, one day maybe I'll just interview him by himself, you know, and we'll have a retrospect on his career. So, and also, I guess I mentioned Ted Wells. He had a lot to say, which was really cool. And Gino Andrews was probably the best. Aside from... I can't say anyone was the best, because everyone had something really cool to say. Gino was a... he did a lot of acting. He's still out there. GinoAndrews.com. Check that out. He's got this... He's done with it now, but he has got this awesome podcast called LOL with Gino. I believe it's LOLwithGino.com. EJ is still in Silent Rage. He played bass in White Lion for a few years, or the reinvention of White Lion, which led to me trying to get an interview with Mike Tramp. But Mike Tramp didn't want to talk about White Lion anymore, so that sucks. All right, Sam Mann, he's got a business out in California. Ted Wells is an insurance salesman. Really cool guy. Gino, going back to him, he's still out there writing and producing movies. You can find them on GinoAndrews.com. EJ, you know, has got Silent Rage, but he does another band called No Duh, which is a No Doubt cover band. And he had a Blondie tribute album or tribute band as well. I can't remember the name of that, but you can find all that stuff just by looking up his name. And most of all these guys are on Facebook, MySpace, so if you're lucky, they'll befriend you, whatever. I mean, not if you're lucky, I'm not saying. But, and then Paul Sabu, I actually just talked to him a couple months ago, and he's still doing stuff, and, what his music is kind of referred to as, AOR, album-oriented rock, which I never really got. I mean, because some of his stuff is just, you know, it doesn't seem radio-friendly, but it rocks, so I don't understand that. Anyway, I guess I should cut this short. Besides Sam Mann. Sam Mann started in a couple movies. Going back to those Don Jackson movies, he was in a couple of those. And also Lisa Toothman, who played Elsa, she was in one of those movies. And she was pretty much topless the whole time she was in it. But she also went on to a couple other movies, Witchcraft 3, which she had like a major role in. And then she was also in Eyes of the Serpent, which isn't that great of a movie, but, you know, another cool, another movie she was in. Can't really say much about any of the other actors except Don Mattson. I know him from the Bill Goldberg Santa Claus movie, Santa Slay. He played the sheriff in that. It's not really too much to say after that. Cassie really didn't go on to do anything else. She was in some soap operas along with a few of the other cast members. But and let me just briefly mention the director. Gino Gino Andrews actually had a really cool story about Krishna Shah, which you can hear in the interview I did. But Krishna Shah, he's out there. He's still out there producing movies. And there's some clips on YouTube of him doing a seminar and all that kind of stuff. But a couple of his, or I guess his major movie was called Shalimar, which actually had John Saxon in it. It's actually a really cool movie, but it's strange. Along with he's got a few other movies, but the two I know most are Hard Rock Zombies and American Drive-In. So, I actually was going to get an interview with him, but I had to go through other channels, and it just never worked out. And I just kind of figured there might be a language barrier. He may not speak perfect English, so yeah, I just kind of figured that wasn't worth pursuing. So I guess I'll just wrap this up. I want to give you a couple samples of Paul Sabu's music and a couple samples of Silent Rage music, which is EJ Kirst's band. So here's a couple of Silent Rage. So that's a song called I'm on Fire from their debut album, Don't Touch Me There. And here's another song. Those are two of the better songs. The whole album's pretty cool. Definitely you hear a Paul Sabu and a Gene Simmons influence on there. Those albums are still available. You can get them on Amazon. I believe any music source. So, and they're still together. I'm going to give you a couple Paul Sabu songs. One is from his Kid Glove days. And then from the Heartbreak album is a song called Heartbreak. Also, I didn't mention Mick Manns. He goes by in the movie, who played Bobby, the keyboardist. That was the last guy. Otherwise, I would have got the whole band of Holy Moses. I just couldn't find him. I couldn't find any information on him. But then a couple months ago, just this year, I was looking at the poster because I have the Hard Rock Zombies poster, probably hanging up in my room. And I looked at the names, and I noticed it said, like, EJ Kirst, and then it said Gino, but it didn't say Gino Andrews. So I was like, what the hell? So I started looking further, and it said Mick McMains. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I did some internet searches, and I eventually found him. I had to go through channels, but I found him. And I'm actually going to be doing an interview with him on September 30th. So if you all want to be patient, you can just listen to the whole Holy Moses thing because I'm going to add it to the Halloween or the October 2009 retro show. So, and hopefully I'll have all the Holy Moses. And the interviews were awesome. If you're a fan of this movie, just listen to their stories about this movie. Fucking great. I guess I'll close it with that. All these people are still out there. Gino Andrews is still making movies. He made music. EJ Kerr is still making music, still acting. Sam Mann, he made a lot of music, and you can probably get it through him himself. And he's still out there, you know, he's a lot. All these people are still alive. So if you really want to talk to them, I'm sure you could find them somehow. So, all right, I will end this. I hope I didn't bore everyone. I'm not used to doing podcasts by myself or recording by myself. So if I sound weird, forgive me. But that's my Hard Rock Zombies retrospective. And I hope that everyone enjoyed it. I hope I didn't spoil it too much. An interest in the movie. Sorry. Enjoy. And this is Raven J from RetroRetroRetro.com with the exclusive Hard Rock Zombies retrospective for The Man Cave. Take care, everyone.